Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arne, Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I'm so glad that you tuned in on today, and I know that God has a blessing for you on today. Today we'll be talking about beholding the glory of God, beholding His glory. And we want to focus in on today about declaring the I Am. Our lesson text is going to be found over in John chapter 8, verses number 7 through 12, and John 9, 1 through 7. And I'll read that in your hearing. So when they continue asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. Shall have the light of life. John 9, verses number 1 through 7 reads on this line, And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither have this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Today I want to look at the focus verse, both John 8 and 58 and 9 and 5. And that reads, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The holiness and deity and the purpose of Jesus Christ's life is declared in the seven I am recorded in John's gospel. As the light of the world, Jesus dispelled the darkness of sin and restored the vision of mankind and man's purpose. And we must recognize when we look at darkness, darkness means a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding. And so keep that in mind as we progress here on today, that when we talk in terms of darkness, it's in reference to a lacking of the knowledge thereof. Amen? So let's look here. It's that mankind possess three basic psychological essentials that are conducive to spiritual health and optimal performance in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to grab a hold of this, child of God, and get you an ink pen or paper so you can write this down. There are three essentials that must be prevalent and healthy in the life of the child of God in order for you to birth forth the optimal performance that God is requiring out of your life, that fruit. Let's look at those things. It said first, a person must have a sense of identity. Do you know who you are in Christ? His knowledge, your knowledge, that he is competent of God's master plan. that knowledge that you have of your identity is going to give you the competence of being able to know the knowledge of God's master plan for you. Number two, the second essential is a sense of purpose. You must have a sense of purpose, child of God, in order for you to have that optimal performance and spiritual health in Zion, doing and executing the work and the will of God. Let's see. It said a person's awareness of purpose, his particular duty or function in God's master plan. It is key that you understand that purpose that God has and that sense of purpose, because if you don't have a sense of purpose, you're going to be moving forward aimlessly. But when you grab a hold to that sense of purpose, then you're able to function daily in and out of that plan and that purpose that God has. So here we have identity. Number two, we have a sense of purpose. Now let's look at the third element or the third essential that you should have or a child of God should have. Mankind must have a sense of destiny, his or her knowledge that he has choice now will affect his future. So your knowledge that is your choice will affect your future. So we must recognize that these three essential is key: identity, purpose, and destiny. Those three things is going to affect your choices every day. If you don't have a sense of identity, a knowing that you're a child of God, you will not walk in the spirit of truth, where the word of God said that he made you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And you would not recognize all of the promises that God and walk in those and live those and claim those things. So you have to have a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, and a sense of destiny. Ultimately, when a person lacks these essentials, his life becomes empty and meaningless. This is the opposite of God's will for a person's life. For Jesus declared that he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It is God's will for us to have a life of fulfillment and purpose. To possess this abundant life, one must understand that Jesus Christ is the source of his or her identity and purpose and destiny. Now, grab that. In order for you to possess the abundancy of life, child of God, you must recognize that Jesus Christ is the source of all of our sense of identity, our purpose, and our destiny. All creation revolves around Jesus Christ and exists only because of him. He is both the cause of and the reason of everything. To recognize that the resurrected Christ is the supreme ruling authority over the universe is to recognize that Jehovah God, the I Am of the Old Testament, dwells in him and in absolute fullness and concurs on all the full identity of the Almighty. And so we must recognize that. And you can find that and look that if you want to look it in Scripture. You find Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, Revelation 1 and 8. And we must recognize that Jesus Christ is known as the eternal I Am. And so here, let's look. We're talking about and declaring the I Am and beholding the glory of the Lord on today. If a person could grasp these essential truths about Jesus Christ and the fact that the resurrected Christ possessed full identity as the great I Am, he could or she could begin to see how God relates to his children today. And that's key for us to understand how God relates to his children. We need to understand and understand how God is going to relate to me and relate to you as a child of God, because as we recognize that and begin to get a grip and grab a hold of how God is relating, then we can be in greater fellowship and greater communion with God, because we are understanding how he's relating unto us. let's look here. The full identity as the I am, the child of God can begin to see that and clearly understand that the I am of the Old Testament as provider, as protector of the people and children of Israel, is now through Jesus Christ the provider and the protector of the church and his people today. Every single attribute of the I am that pertained to God of Israel now pertain to the resurrected Christ. And we must recognize that and things, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door and things. Let's look at the I am before Abraham. And let's look and see what it's saying about the I am before Abraham. There is one absolute and supreme ruling authority over the entire universe. We know this authority as God, who is pure spirit, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. We'll see that over in John 4 and 24. Without a beginning or without an end, God defies human comprehension outside of the scripture, although mankind has attempted to understand him for centuries. Through the scripture, however, we are able both to understand his attributes and the purpose for which he created mankind, his absolute deity, his existence in perpetual, his transcend of time, and the scripture always referred to him as I am, or we'll find scriptures, I should say, that refer to him as I am. Now, we can find that over in Exodus 3, chapter 13, verse number 14. As we, again, beholding the glory of God and declaring the I am today. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Jews. The nation of Israel owes its beginning to Abraham, who was its supreme patriarch. Abraham was the father of Isaac, who was in turn the father of Jacob. To Jacob's 12 sons were born, each of whom became the father of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. At that time, Jesus' earthly life, the Jews placed great importance on the fact that they could trace their genealogy all the way back to Abraham. A dialogue that took place between Jesus and the Pharisee clearly demonstrated that fact when you look at John 8, 38 through 47. However, Jesus traced his lineage to his heavenly father who was before Abraham. Did you catch that, child of God? Who was before Abraham. The man, Christ, Jesus Christ, was human, was not born unto Bethlehem. His mother, we know, was Mary, conceived by Jesus by the Holy Ghost. And because he was the fullness of God manifested in the flesh, he could rightly say that his existence transcends that of Abraham. His flesh did not precede Abraham, but his spirit did. That's the key right there. His spirit did. Jesus stated, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." John 14 and 9, he clearly indicate that he was the invisible, that he was the visible expression of the invisible God. And you'll find that scripture over in Colossians 1 and 15. Thus, he was fully qualified to declare himself as the I am, although he chronologically age was less than 50 years old. And that's what overthrew some of the Pharisees when they came in dialogue with Jesus. How can you say that you was before our father Abraham? But before Abraham, Jesus said, I was. Because he was talking about he was the father, he is the spirit. Because we know that God is a spirit. And so you'll find that over in John 8, 57 through and 59. Let's look here at another work. It says here, children are identified by their works. By the statement in the 8th chapter of 8, it is clear that the Pharisees believed that they were the children of God because they were of a natural lineage of Abraham. However, the statement of Jesus revealed that the true children of God was not those who were Abraham's natural descendants, but those who were duplicated those of Abraham. See John 8 and 39. How could a person who lives under the new covenant do the work of Abraham? According to the Apostle Paul, a true son of Abraham will exhibit the same caliber of faith as did Abraham, and he would have the inner qualities of the heart and spirit that made him the son of Abraham. And you'll find that over in Romans 2, 28 and 29, Galatians 3, 7 and 9. Let's look at the works of God are declared in the I Am. So we're talking about the I Am on today, the great I Am. And we're going to, before this session and this segment today is over, we're going to talk and tie that in to how it's affecting you, child of God, and what God wants you to affirm every day of who you are. Because remember, as we talked at the opening, there are three central things that a child of God must grasp a hold in order for you to be effective in the kingdom of God. And those three things are, get your pen and let's write these down: a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, and a sense of destiny. Those three things are key for the children of God to be effective in the kingdom of God. You must know who you are. You must know your purpose. And you must know your destiny as you're walking out and living out your purpose. Amen? And so let's keep looking. And you're going to see how all this is going to tie in. And as we begin this brand new year and thing, we're going to walk. You're going to walk in purpose. You're going to know your identity. And you're going to know your destiny, because that's where your competence will come, and your confidence in Christ and knowing who God is and what his effect and what he's doing in and through your life. Let's look here. We're going to look at the works of God are declared in the I Am. Whenever God gives a command to Abraham, he promptly obeyed, whether it was a command to leave his country, to circumcise all the males, the children of his household, or to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. He was always willing to comply. Now let's stop there. We must recognize, children of God, when God asked of us, God is looking for us to comply with his command in our life. He wants us to move with him and move forward with him. And sometimes we wrestle, Lord, I don't know what your will is. And see, but what you can begin to do and say, God, you know, I want to know your will. Please lay your will in my heart. Even while I'm asleep at night, write your will upon my heart, dear God, because I want to move and do what you're calling me to do. Order my steps aright, Lord, because I'm willing to go where you want me to go. I'm willing to do. So when you in dialogue and bidding God to guide you and to lead and guide you into all truth, God will. And then, Lord, this is what I'm feeling that you're commanding me to do. And if it's not what you want me to do, Lord, I give you permission to close the door. If not, if it is your will, Lord, just lead me, because I'm willing to go. And when you begin to tell God, Lord, just lead me, I'm willing to go. And if this is not your will, I give you permission to close the door. Then you're opening yourself up to become that instrument that God can use in his hand, because you now become compliable and complying with the will of God. And that's what made it different with Abraham. Abraham, he was pliable and he complied to the things of God. He was willing to do what God told him to do. When he was asked to give up Isaac and offer Isaac as a burnt offering, that man took his son all the way up to Mount Moriah and was getting ready to slew him. And then God said, wait a minute, look. And he seen a ram in the thicket. But he had a heart and a mind to go all the way with God. And so, children of God, we must have a heart and a mind to go all the way with God. God, your will, your sovereign will be done in my life. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Yes. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we do. Do we miss the mark sometimes? Yes, sometimes we do. Get up when you say you recognize it. Get up and move forward. Lord, oh God, I thought I heard you say go this way, but I went the wrong way. Father, forgive me. Help me. Lead me. Guide me, because I want to go. I want to be what you called me to be. The Jews also sought to kill Jesus. However, were not of the spirit of Abraham, serving instead of their own lust and doing the work of the devil instead of the work of God. And you'll see John 8:44. That's what the word said. although they were of the natural lineage of Abraham, their work indicated that they were exact opposite of what it means to be a true child of Abraham. A true child of Abraham will possess the same willingness, catch that, the same willingness as Abraham to obey God's command, which is still true today. We must have that willingness to obey God's command for our lives today as children of God. In his disclosure with the Pharisees, Jesus clearly identified himself as the I Am. God had instructed Moses to reveal to Israel that the I Am has sent him for the purpose of Israel's deliverance. See Exodus 3:13-14. In that same preceding verse state that Jesus had said, before Abraham was, I am. And he had thoroughly established his identity as the deliverer of mankind from their bondage. And you'll see that over in John 8:32-36 and 5:58. Recognize that, remember when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, "Who, you know, I am sent me." And so here Jesus saying, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And what he was doing, he was establishing his identity. And before we leave this air today, we're going to establish, you're going to establish your identity of who you are in Christ today. Also here, when we look at the scripture here, it said Jesus has equated his ministry of deliverance of that to of Moses, but on the same broader and a more spiritual level. By doing this, he also asserts that I am of Israel was validated. Moses' ministry was likewise validating his own ministry even more powerful. Truly, Jesus Christ displayed in human form the manifested spirit of the I Am of Moses' day. So did you catch that? And see, he demonstrated that spirit, the spirit of God, that same spirit that was with Moses. And here it is, that same spirit that was with Moses when Moses stood before the Pharisees is the same spirit that was operating in God, in Jesus Christ. And that's why he was declaring, I am, because we know it was God manifested in the flesh. Now let's look at the seven I Ams of John. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ effect a transition that completely refined what constitutes Israel. It also inaugurated a new covenant that identified the Israel of God as those who repented from their sins, and that was baptized even in his name, and received the gift, the name of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Within the context of this new covenant, Jesus fulfilled the role of Jehovah Jireh as the provider of the needs of his people, particularly but not exclusively with regards to eternal life. The knowledge of Jesus Christ provides us with an exceeding great and precious promise regarding the present world and the world to come. And that's one key element for that identity. The Gospel of John contained Jesus' declaration regarding his nature as the I Am who supply all the needs of the believer today. That's why he said, asked in his name. That's why he's saying, acknowledge me first, because he is our provider. Jesus Christ is our provider, providing all of our needs. And when we acknowledge him, he will direct our path. So let's look here at the bread of life. It says that Jesus declared, I am the living bread. Now we're looking at the I Ams today. So don't turn that dial. You're getting ready to be blessed, child of God. God has a spiritual blessing for you today. Just hold on and hold out. It's on its way. Let's get through this particular lesson today. As we getting ready to close, God is going to bless you. I feel it in my spirit. It said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You'll find that over in John 6:51. Now we're looking at the seven I Ams, and you may want to write them down. and things as we go through here, but that John declare and things. The first one we're talking about, the bread of life. Jesus often used the allegory or comparison with the nature as a means to demonstrate a particular spiritual principle. And with this statement, he asserted that his death, burial, and resurrection would feed the spiritual man like natural bread feeds the body. He also proclaimed that the word that he speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:3. Receiving his word by faith into our spirit will provide for the health of our soul, that part of us that will not die. We obtain and maintain spiritual health by allowing the truth of God to become a part of our spiritual being. By so doing, we take on his holiness in our heart, and which sustain us for his purpose. Now, did you get that? There it is, the purpose. And I'm going to share that again because I want you to grab a hold of that and thing. It says here, as we obtain and maintain spiritual health by allowing the truth of God to become a part of our spiritual being. So key number one, we have to allow the truth of God to come into our hearts and our minds and our spirit. And in doing that, we are taking on the holiness of God in our heart, which sustain us or keep us for God's purpose or his purpose. So, number one, we must open up our hearts. We must begin to take time out, carve out time for the word of God and just sit before God and say, God, I want to understand you. I want to read your word, and I want to have a greater understanding. God, as you read it, Lord, open up my understanding. Help me to comprehend what you're saying unto me and while I'm reading your word. And the more you read the word, the more you're taking on the holiness and the righteousness of God into your heart. And when you get it into you, you're going to live out that holiness. You'll live out that righteousness because that word, like David said, I hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you, God. I don't want to sin against you. So I'm going to learn of you. I'm going to seek you out. I'm going to understand what you want for my life and things. I'm not going to let man and my circumstances dictate what you're telling me to do and things, but I'm going to go back to God and learn of you and get a greater understanding. Yes, I've got to respect my authority that you placed over me and things, but I want to spend time with you, God, too, so I can know my sense of identity. I want to be able to know my sense of purpose and my sense of destiny as well. And in order for you to do that, you must spend time with God. Yes, in Bible study. Yes, in Sunday school. Yes, morning worship. And then throughout the week, carve out time with God because he's going to reveal his purpose. Let's look at another I am, the light of the world. When Jesus declared himself as the light of the world, he meant that his word would illuminate our path. By this light, mankind could find a sense of identity, purpose, and destiny. It was for this purpose that Jesus gave himself to mankind. So did you see that? That Jesus Christ, when he declared, I am the light of the world, and that his words was going to illuminate our path. And that's why you could hear the saints of God saying, you know, Lord, show me your way. Father, have your way. Lead me, Lord. Guide me. Direct me into all truth. Well, we asking God to illuminate our path. Show us the way to go. Show us the direction. Show us what you have for us on today. And as we asking God to do that, God is going to, he promised. And he will lead us in, guide us into all truth. The next one, number three, is the door. The wise man declared, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run in it and is safe. You'll find that over in Proverbs 18:10. Moreover, Jesus declared that we are to abide in him. See John 15:4. The only way that mankind can receive God's protection is abiding in Christ Jesus. We must abide in him. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
And you'll find that's Romans 8 and 1. To be in Christ Jesus is to abide in the relationship with God, wherein we are free from condemnation of the law of Moses, and we are saved and justified. To enter into that relationship is to go through the door that God provided for mankind's redemption. And Jesus Christ is that door. It's the only way that we can partake of God's holiness, because the door himself is holy. Oh, Shabbat. Call out a bullshit. I felt the anointing right there. Can you just shout hallelujah with me? Oh, I just feel the power of God just right there. Glotobo Shanda. Blessed be your name, dear God. We worship you right there, Father. We set a memorial of praise. Hallelujah. Right there. Because you're awesome and you're a righteous God. Every believer should seek to fulfill the purpose of God for the church. We must seek to do that. Not just surviving spiritually. God don't want us just to be surviving and every day declaring, I'm going through. God don't want you to be at that state. God wants you to have that life, and that life more abundantly. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to stand up and be the man and the woman of God that God is calling you out to be, the children of God. He wants you to know purpose for the church. And once you know that, then you can move with the assignment of God, because you know who you are, your identity, you know your purpose, and you know your destiny. Those three things cannot go by themselves. They all are interchangeable with one. Now, knowing your identity, knowing who you're serving, knowing your purpose, and knowing your destiny. Come on, put your hands together, child of God. I just feel the anointing power of God right there. I just feel God just moving right there in this studio right now. So Jesus said that he had come to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19 and 10. That is the responsibility that has fallen upon the church. He fully intended that the apostle would preach his gospel throughout the world, and likewise his intent for the church of the 21st century to share the gospel of Christ with this present generation. We got to share the word. We got to share our blessing. Sometimes we can get at ease at Zion. We can go and absorb all the blessings of the Lord, and sometimes we are wax fat and kicking, and we just enjoying and bathing in the presence of the Lord and the spiritual blessings of the Lord. Well, guess what? God wants us to share that with those that don't know him and those that sit in darkness. God wants us to share that same blessing with those that don't know him, those that are sitting by the wayside, those that are waiting for just the crumbs. Don't you know there's people just want, can I get a crumb of a praise, crumb of a word, crumb of a prayer for somebody? Could somebody come into the lost sheep of Israel and just share the word, or share the love and share the kindness of God? And so, children of God, we got to broaden our scope. And when we leave Sunday morning service, after being blessed and showered down with the blessings of the Lord, guess what? God wants us to go out and share that with somebody that don't know about him, that have not came into a relationship with him. And we cannot cross the street and things, but we need to go to them and bind up their wounds and say, we know a man, we know somebody that can help you. Come see a man. His name is Jesus Christ. He'll heal you from your sin. He'll raise you up. He'll raise you up out of the dunghill. He did it for me. He'll do it for you, child of God. Just come and tell him, I see your end is better than your beginning. Just come on and trust God. And God would do it. So, child of God, be that vessel, be that instrument that God can use. As Christians of the first century encountered adversity, the Christian of today will experience the same as they seek to obey Jesus Christ and command to teach all nations. You're going to come up under great tribulation and great fight and things, but it's worth the fight. And it's worth seeing the power of God, another soul snatched out of the bowels of hell and moving forward and coming into their identity and their purpose and their destiny as well. And so we must, through much tribulation, enter even into the kingdom of God. Jesus stated we should not fear those who can destroy the body, but we should fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. It said, although our bodies themselves may be destroyed, abiding in him certainly preserve our eternal souls. So we cannot fear the faces of man. And you must recognize they just clay. Clay with hair on top of the head and with an opinion. And so we must recognize that and things and not fear man's faces, but do the work of the will of the Lord our God and things. And he, heaven, will back you. Heaven will be standing on your side, the angels of the Lord. Let's look at the next one, the good shepherd. David proclaimed that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Psalms 23 and 1. As the shepherd of our soul, of his people, Jesus knows how to lead us into the path of righteousness. Not only does he lead us into green pastures through his word, but also he chastens us. Sometimes his chastening comes through affliction, and at other times it comes because he allows us to choose a wrong path in our life to learn the tough lesson through our experience. You know, my mother used to say, bought sense is better than told sense. And sometimes God just allows us to choose the wrong path so that we can learn from that lesson. And sometimes it can come harsh on us, and we wonder, why is all that happening? But maybe you didn't hear God. Maybe you didn't do what God told you to do. But guess what? He's still merciful and kind. Even in that situation, he's still going to show you his mercy and his kind. The purpose of such chastening is both it's going to preserve you, and then it's going to refine us spiritually. So if you find yourself being chastened by the Lord, guess what? He want to preserve you, and he's refining you. He's cutting off that bad attitude and giving you temperance and things. And what he's doing is establishing you, even in the hard places, in the uncomfortable places, even teaching you how to love your enemy and how to stand and in self-control when you're being cut down and daggers are being thrown at you. He's teaching, he's refining you to stand and resist the devil. And because the Bible said that he will flee. That's what the word said, and that's our promise, child of God. And so as God refining you and preserving you, guess what? He's preserving you from destruction from the enemy. And he's refining you so that you can be more effective in service. Because as the I Am, Jesus is truly our Jehovah Jireh, the one who the Lord who provides. And so even in that hard place, he's refining you. He's cutting off the hard edges and purging off things that don't need to go to the next level with you. But he wants you to be able to be meet as a tool in the master hand. So here we have four of the seven, the bread of life, the I Am, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd. And now let's look at the resurrection and the life. Since its inception, the church hopes has been to inherit eternal life and to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the world to come. The writer of Hebrew penned it, these familiar words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Hebrew 11 and 1. Throughout the ages, the people of God had anticipated an age beyond this present world and life in which God would reward all those who was faithful unto him. Jesus affirmed that his death, burial, and resurrection would be the sole means by which mankind could experience the resurrection from death and attain this inheritance. And you'll see that over in John 11, 25 through 26. This hope continued to be the motivating conviction that drives the church towards completion of its purpose and its destiny. There it is. This same motivating conviction is going to drive us in things to the completion of its purpose and destiny. Jesus fulfilled the purpose of God in the days of his flesh when he provided for mankind's redemption all the way through to the resurrection. And certainly, he triumphed through his holy purpose. So his purpose was to go all the way through to the resurrection. And through that, he was able to be triumphant in that. So let's look at the next thing. And before I moved, I heard the Spirit of the Lord just drop something in my spirit and things that we walk in that resurrection power. We literally stand in that resurrection power and things. You heard the psalmist said, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. And things, and when we find ourselves in that place of destitute or battle and things, in your mind you're thinking, Lord, lead me to that place that higher than I, then God just will resurrect our faith, our spirit up out of that thing. When you begin to worship God, you can feel like God just resurrecting your spirit up out of that stupor that where the enemy want to come in and just bombard your mind with, is God going to do it? Is God going to come through? Or am I going to lose everything? Is my car going to be taken? Or is my, I'm going to lose my house, or am I going to lose my husband, and all these things. I'm going to lose my wife, and all these things that the adversary want to come and just taunt the mind of the child of God. Are they going to like me? Are they going to reject me when I speak? And all these things that just weigh in the mind of God's people. But when you begin to look to the hill from which cometh your help come from the Lord, and begin to worship God, it seems like God will just resurrect your spirit up and above. All of that stuff that the adversary is trying to throw on you. Let's look at the next one. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' statement of John 14 and 6 clearly indicated that he was the only provision of God for the redemption of fallen mankind. By striving to be like him, we become the extension of his ministry to the lost people of this present generation. According to the full content of the scripture, we could accurately say that the true biblical holiness is not just conformity to a criteria of outward standards. Holiness is an inward attitude of brokenness and surrenderness of heart to the will of God that translate into behavior transformation in every aspect of an individual life. And we talked about that earlier in this session about what happened to Jesus and things, or Abraham and things, and the those that came after his descendant. It was because they comply, being compliable unto the will of God so much that they lived this thing, not only just speak this thing, and praise the Lord wasn't just a cliche, but it was something that they lived out in things of their lives, that their life became a praise unto God and things, so that people would see them and their life would declare that they are the righteousness of God and living holy and righteous unto God. Let's look at the next one and the final one. It said, Jesus declared that I am the vine, John 15 and 1. This was not yet another allegorical, this was another allegorical statement that Jesus had made when he used illustration from the natural to demonstrate a specific spiritual principle. It is in this instance that Jesus conveying the concept that apprehended to his teaching, and by seeking to win the lost, his disciple would have fellowship with him and will participate in his ministry. And so we want to participate in the ministry with Jesus Christ. And furthermore, his spirit would anoint their ministry. Now, there it is. His spirit would anoint their ministry and would supernaturally empower them to preach the gospel, in so much as every child of God is as a member of the body of Christ. This principle still applies to us after some 2,000 years later. Thus, the believer has fellowship with him and is an extension of his ministry. And so, child of God, we must be that extension of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we abide in the vine, stay in there, knowing that Jesus Christ is the truth and the way and the life, and he is the resurrection and life, and that he's our good shepherd, the door, the light of the world, and the bread of life. And so here we see John take and bring the I Am of Jesus here in the book of John, and we're able to see where he is saying those seven I Ams, and those are key to the children of God. And what I want to do, and in this latter part of our session today, is to look at some things about us as children of God, as how we are that extension of the ministry. And you must recognize we must be about our Father's business, seeking the lost sheep of Israel, inviting people to church, encouraging them to come to the house of the Lord. And so let's look at some things here as we focus in. It said some of the I Am for the children of God that is found in the Bible. It said, I am accepted in Christ. John 1:12, if you write these down, I am a child, God's child. John 15:15, I am Christ's friend. Romans 5:1, I have been justified. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am united with the Lord and one with him in spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:20, I have been bought with a price. And I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I am a member of Christ's body. Ephesians 1:1. I am a saint. Ephesians 1:5. I have been adopted as God's child. Ephesians 2:18. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:14, I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sin. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. Now these are the I Ams that we as children of God can say about us being accepted and Christ Jesus. Look those up and begin to speak and say, I am the child of God. I am a friend of Christ. I have been justified. I am united with Christ. I have been bought with a price. I am the member of Christ's body. I am the saint of God. I am adopted child of God, and I have access to God. I have been redeemed and forgiven in all of my sin. I am complete in Christ. You got to declare that I am over your life. Now let's look at the next set of I am. I am secure in Christ. And I want you to write these down if you can. Just go back and listen to the session all over again and write these. Romans 12:1-2. I am free from forever from condemnation. The adversary can't condemn you no more. I am secured that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. I cannot be separated from the love of God. Romans 8:35. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. 2 Corinthians 1:21. I am hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. Philippians 1:6 states, I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. Philippians 3:20. I am a citizen of heaven. The I Am, 2 Timothy 1:7 said, I have been given a spirit, not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Hebrews 4:16. I can find grace and mercy in the time of need because you can go boldly to the throne room of God. 1 John 5:18 said, I am born of God and the evil one cannot touch me. Come on, put your hands together. And those were the I am secured in Christ. And now, the next set of the I Ams, you're talking about your identity, child of God, your purpose, and your destiny. And let's look at the I Am of being significant in Christ. You have significancy, and you are significant in the body of Christ. And I want to tell you that today, and I want you to write it down if you can, and things so that you can speak these and declare it over your life. No, you're not going to die, but you're going to live and declare the works of the Lord, because you're going to declare and affirm who you are in Christ. God is already written, but you got to declare it in your life. Amen. So let's look here at the I am significant in Christ. Matthew 5:13-14 says, I am the salt and the light of the earth. John 15:1-5, I am a branch of the true vine and a channel of his life. John 15:16, I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. Acts 1:18, I am a personal witness of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16, I am God's temple. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20, I am a minister of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 6:1, I am God's co-worker. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's workmanship. Ephesians 3:12, I may approach God with freedom and confidence. Philippians 4:13, and I love this one, and this is our last one. I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me and who will strengthen me. And so, child of God, I want you to know that you are someone in Christ. And I wanted you to know your identity as you're moving into this whole new year and things. Know who you are as a child of God and write those down. Declare them over your life every day, who you are in Christ. I am accepted in Christ because I am a child of God. I'm a friend of God. I've been justified. I'm united with Christ. I'm a member of Christ's body. So when the adversary come and try to bring your past to your faith, you say, I'm the child of God. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord. I've been accepted and adopted as a child of God. I am the temple of God. I'm a minister of reconciliation. No, I don't have papers, but the Bible said that I am a minister of reconciliation and things. I am a co-worker with God. I am seated with Christ in heavenly realms. And so you can talk back to the adversary when he begins to speak in your face. And like they said, speak to the hand and not the face, because I am not listening and things. The Bible's already declared who I am, and I stand in truth today. Okay, Yeshua, hallelujah. So on today, in my closing, those three centrals of declaring the I am, it will bring you a sense of your identity, your sense of purpose, and your sense of destiny, so that you can have spiritual health and the optimal performance in the kingdom of God, because you know who you are and doing the work and the will of the Lord. And so I want to say, in my closing, please leave a message, or if you want to contact me via the email or go to my website at www.ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com, or email me at Helen Orme, O-R-M-E, at MSN.com. You can definitely email me, and I want to hear from you. And I pray, I want to hear the testimony of how God bless you. I know God is going to bless you. This is your year of new beginning, and this is all starting all afresh. Every day, his mercies are new every day. That's what the word of the Lord let us know. And things at 12:01 deposited into your spiritual bank account with a whole new set of mercy. And so now get up and just go forth and do the work of the will of the Lord. God has some blessing for you. And I want to pray for you. And I want you to know before I pray that if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just a question away from your answer or your miracle and blessing. All you need to do is ask God. The Bible said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And so you will need to go back and ask God and knock again and seek again. Don't you dare give up. Hold fast to the promise and declare the I ams over your life. God is going to bless you. Gracious Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I come on behalf of your children, oh God, on this day for their identity and their purpose and thy destiny. Let them grab a hold of it. Let them go back to your word and reread that and get it in their spirit, heart and mind so they can walk and live it out. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I know that you can do all things but fail. You are the righteous Savior. You're the Holy One of Israel, and you got all power in your hand. And, oh, God, shalalaboshea. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Bless my sister. Bless my brother, oh, God, as they move forward in the things of God and your kingdom and in purpose, Lord. Anoint them, Lord, as they are an extension of your ministry. Flow through, Lord, our mind. Flow through our spirit, oh, God. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We'll give you the glory and the honor, and we'll give you the praise. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, Oshan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on and put your hands together and praise God. And I honor you for being with us here on today and what God is going to do in and through your life. You sit in that spirit of expectancy and watch God meet every one of your needs as you move forward in his will, operating in the spiritual realm, and God's going to bless you, saturate your soul. God said if you just acknowledge him, he will direct your path. And remember, he came that you might have life, not just to survive or thrive, but he came that you might have life and that more abundancy. And so allow the abundancy of God to flow in and through your life. Let him be that conduit and say, God, just flow through me as a channel of life in this world. You can flow your anointing, flow your word, flow your healing power, through my life as an extension of your ministry, God, because we are a willing vessel to do the master's will. And I want you to know, child of God, God have a purpose and a plan for your life. So don't give up. Don't let the vicissitude of life dictate your identity. You are who God say that you are. And go back and begin to read those scriptures that I've given you on today. I'm going to post them on my blog even on today so that you can even perhaps go and take a look at them so that you know them and things and commit them to memory in your heart and commune with God and begin to take on the holiness of God in your inward man, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and things that you can become the temple of God's righteousness, temple of God's word, a storehouse of his word. And so be blessed, child of God. And I pray that you have an opportunity to tune in with us again, even on tomorrow. Tomorrow, again, we will come back with another session of talking about other principles that we can apply to our life so that we can be victorious children of God. God wants you to walk in the abundancy and the blessing and be in fellowship with him. And he loves you, and so do I. And so thank you again for allowing me to come into your place of abode, whether it's in your home or whether you're on your lunch hour or whether you're just at home today. I want to say I thank you for you coming home with me today and sharing this hour of empowerment with you on today. Walk in the power of God and recognize that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. This is your year, and you got to claim it and things. And if you don't claim it, it's just like a coat in the closet. If you don't go in that closet, open that door, take that coat off that rack, and put it on and claim it, it won't be yours. So, child of God, claim every promise that God has. Go into the Bible, to the spiritual closet of the Bible. Begin to read about the promises. Take those promises out. Put them on. And just like a coat, put those promises on into your life. And things claiming, I am who God said I am. I will be what God said I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. God is my Father. He is my helper. He is my keeper. He will see me through. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So any test that come your way, you can do it through Christ with strengthening you because the Bible said it. God bless you. Child of God is my prayer.